I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle wind on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
Don't get it, baby.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitation.
You have to let it breathe. You know what I'm talking about, Terry?
Like a good wine.
You
like
gotta let that. You gotta let that thing breathe.
Gotta let him get to the vocals. That's what it is.
It's the Beach Boys.
Don't be stepping all over that. No. we're coming to you in a maze, to say the least. Craftsman Collision poll question: is this simple? Is the game to tomorrow a must-win for Tampa Bay? 68% of you are saying, like I am saying, yes.
How many?
68% of them are saying it is a must-win.
68% are confused as to what must-win means.
Turn up the lights.
Very intelligent guy can understand this. Sure. A must-win means you have to win, and if you don't, you will not only lose the game,
yes,
you will lose the championship,
yes,
or
will,
whatever you're competing
will,
for.
Yes.
Therefore,
yes,
if I can walk you through this, you can only have a must-win in an elimination game, something like a Super Bowl, or if you're facing a team in a series, in a seven-game series that already has three wins. It is possible that Tampa can lose this and still come back.
You have the entire show to talk about sports.
Okay.
Can we talk about movies now?
Okay, we can get into this stuff.
Must see.
I got out of bed to do this.
Okay. You can text us. I just want to tell everybody your text messages to tell Botchford how wrong he is. The Canadian Direct Insurance text message inbox 104040.
Did I see a $20 bill over there?
Well, I'm trying to make
a
bet with him.
He won't
take my money.
Okay.
The Evil One joins us right now. Entourage, which opened up on Wednesday. 5.4 million on opening night. Okay, opening day. And now everybody's going to see it on the weekend. Is it worth seeing?
It can't
5 years
this
of waiting
be
for
good.
This. Is it in? Because the critics
There's no way.
Let me put it.
It's dated. It's a TV
can
show.
Can I talk
There's
now?
No way this
can
be good.
Can I get in here? Okay. For 8 years, it was on HBO, right? It was the reason to have HBO, basically. Yeah. Will the fans follow the boys? Yes, they'll follow the boys. If you weren't a fan through the 8 years, you ain't going to the movie. It's as simple as that. You could go and have a look at it. It's not particularly great. They kind of walk through it in certain spots. It's funny. All the regular characters are there. And you go to see them. But if you like the series, you're going to like the film.
Here's the thing, though, in the series. I did enjoy the series until the last final two seasons.
Yes.
And I really have a bitter taste in my mouth from those final two seasons.
Because
am I going to... It just got into relationships, and it had this whole chick flick feel to it.
But don't forget that they're also shooting Hollywood about Hollywood in Hollywood, and it all sort of
starts
to become a vortex, a dark vortex. it's a great escapist fair. It really is. It's not going to hurt you. It's not going to shorten your life. That's basically it. But here's the deal. Melissa McCarthy is on screen, and she's got a very interesting career because basically she's made her mark on our psyche by doing walk-ins and characters in films. She wasn't carrying the film, per se. This one she carries, and this one she has to be funny as well, which is a really tricky thing to do because you got to get the storyline forward. So she plays Susan Cooper, who's a desk-bound FBI CIA type who is controlling everybody in the field, which is pretty funny in itself. And when their field agents get exposed, she goes undercover in Paris and is a total fish out of water, which is what you want from her. You don't want her to be competent. You want her to be crashing and bashing everything. She does it beautifully. And if she makes you laugh, this movie's going to just tear your face off.
I saw the trailer on it, and I kind of went, okay, that's kind of funny. But I went, was that enough for me to go...
So that's the thing about trailers, Dave. Some of the trailers, if you watch them, you've seen the movie.
Yeah.
Save yourself the coin.
Okay.
Good one, Terry.
There's just... more than the trailer. Because I saw Tomorrowland, and I thought, hey, that looked pretty good.
No, it didn't.
And then I went and saw the movie.
No, Dave.
And I didn't take your warning. Didn't.
Dave.
2 hours of my life gone.
Sit down and have a glass of wine.
It's a kid's movie, anyway. I'll tell you what. I liked Melissa McCarthy in The Heat.
Yeah.
She was a star with Sandra Bullock in that. That was really underrated. Pretty
well. She surrounds herself with Rose Byrne and Miranda Hart and Jason Statham and Jude Law, and it's good stuff. She's getting great numbers. The movie I want to tell you about is Love and Mercy, which is why we played the Beach Boys. And we know this story. You know, if you grew up in any certain time period, you know about the Beach Boys. You're either a Beach Boys fan or you're not. You're either a Beatles fan or you weren't.
Really?
Right?
I'm not really a Beach Boys fan, but I do love Pet Sounds.
Okay, well, that's what they're talking about. Pet Sounds was...
I'm all in on that.
That's the one. So there's two Brian Wilsons, first of all, Paul Dano is the young, right? The young Brian Wilson. And that's when you see him in the studio doing Pet Sounds and parts of Smile. And they're working on the songs, working with the Wrecking Crew, who Hal Blaine and Carole Kaye and all of those musicians who made all of the great records for about 25 years in Los Angeles, actually creating what happened in the studio. John Cusack plays him as the older, very damaged guy.
Right.
Paul Giamatti is brilliant as the absolutely controlling and crazier than his patient, Dr. Eugene Landy, who controlled him for years through drugs and just chasing all of his friends aside and controlling the music as well. So the whole thing, this is not a feel-good movie.
Okay.
There's elements of it that are, it's quirky, it's kind of dark in some spots, but man, if you wonder how the Beach Boys survived or how Brian survived, who's coming to town in about a month, just watch this, and the music carries the day. It's really good,
and it focuses on the making of Pet Sounds.
Making of Smile, and just how he lost control of his mind, how Eugene Landy controlled him, how his father was an idiot, how Mike Love confirms that Mike Love was, is, and still is one of the biggest dicks on the face of the planet, in or out of music.
Wow, I've heard all that rumors. I know you've been around the band. I mean, you know these guys.
Yeah.
How bad? Mike Love,
he's just an idiot. He's the guy that should have been a paper carrier. I mean, nothing wrong with paper carriers, but he should have been a lifelong guy who you sort of walk on the other side of the street because he was one of the lead singers of the Beach Boys, and so he thought that he could spout off on anything going on in the world.
That album was so different at the time. Like the record company, I think it's Capitol Records, I believe, did not believe in it at all. In fact, when that album was released, they actually released a best of the Beach Boys at the exact
his own label,
because they didn't think that
there was infighting with the guys, but when they got in the studio they were okay. They actually, and you see how the harmonies work out, turned out really well, I'm impressed with it. I'd go back and see it again. Paul Dano, if you look at him from There Will Be Blood, he was Paul Sunday, Little Miss Sunshine, Looper, things like that. He's just an amazing actor. You just keep your eye on him because he's going to be great. Elizabeth Banks is great, and Giamatti is just fantastic. He's as simple as that.
Now, I have to ask you this question because on Saturday, Cam Neely will turn 50, all right? And, of course, he's, ex-Canuck and, had the great career in Hall of Fame and all of that, and now he's the president of the Boston Bruins. But forget all that. As Seabass, as Seabass in Dumb and Dumber, was this the single greatest performance by a hockey player in a major film?
Who's the dead man that hit me with the salt shaker?
Wow.
It was a terrible mistake, sir. Please, believe me, I would never do anything to offend a man of your size.
Kick his ass, Seabass! You gonna eat that?
What, that? No. Yes. No. Well, no, I crossed my mind. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Still want it?
You go ahead.
The Oscar goes to Cam Neely.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's a beautiful highlight, isn't it? Sat, you love that? Isn't that beautiful? See, this is quality radio right here. This is what I'm talking about. I'm so glad I got out of bed for this. You know what? I love Cam Neely. I was going to, by the way, I just want to say that there are three docs out there that you might want to keep an eye on. Okay. Banksy does New York. Some Kind of Love, cinematographer Thomas Burston turns the camera on his family. And there's another one called Superman, about the man who started base jumping, Carl Bonish. Okay, that's it. So there's documentaries out there. Those are your choices.
There's
lots of
good
movies.
Will you see any of those documentaries?
No. But I do want to get a number on Entourage here. Okay,
we're back to Entourage
because you guys left Entourage before I was finished with it.
Come on, you got to end this obsession.
No, you guys moved
you
along.
And Entourage,
and you, and you got into the other movies. You know, I had some spy.
What is it, Dave? What is
okay?
Load
because I'm going to go see this movie. Okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, I just want to know Entourage is a.
Oh, well, you like a number?
Bad
on
movie.
It?
Yeah.
It's a 7.
7?
What? Yeah, it's a 7.
It's worth seeing.
TDM. Yeah.
6, 5, 7.
Yeah. You disappoint me.
Okay, fine.
There's no way.
So who has the best
have
cameo?
Have you seen the movie?
I have not, but I refuse to accept that on the Terry David Mulligan scale and with your own taste, that you willingly give Entourage a 7.
Is that a bad thing?
I think it's below you. I think you're above that.
You
got to
change your shorts. What are you talking about? I watch this thing. I've unfold. Never mind.
Okay, so of the cameos,
I feel you're trying to appease Dave.
Best cameo in Entourage was what? Jessica Alba, Liam Neeson, Kelsey Grammer, Rob Mike Tyson, Bob Saget,
Tom
Brady, Russell Wilson.
You need an Entourage podcast.
I know. Okay.
He can't stop talking about it.
To watch the movie just for those cameos, right, truly. Let me tell you about Tasting Room Radio.
Okay.
Bosch. Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on 1410,
yep.
I have this humble little food and wine show called Tasting Room Radio. And it changes every week, of course. And this week, it's the first families of Australian wine. They are all of the people who literally started the Australian wine industry as we know it. They started planting in the 1800s, 1850, 1860. So these are old vines, right? So these are wonderful people, and every one of them is a storyteller. People like Yolumba, Terrell, Tabilk, McWilliams Brothers, Brown Brothers, Darnberg, with the slash across the thing, DeBordley Wines, which I brought for you, Taylor Howard Park, all of the great legendary winemakers all in one show. It's amazing to see them all in one room, and they're just there to remind us that Australia started as a family thing, and they were the first planters in the nation.
My understanding of when Australian wine went big time in North America, it was based on the whites.
It was always.
Right, the Chardonnay.
Always, yeah.
But you've brought a Pinot here.
Yeah, I brought a Pinot because that's what they're trying to let us know, that in other parts of Australia, because it's a massive country.
Right.
They have cool climate and they can grow Pinot. So that's a Pinot. Are you a Pinot?
I've tasted it. Yes, and it's
okay. But
it
I meant is, to fits, ask you yesterday, yeah, when I was talking to you, when I was doing my deep research, what you drank at home.
Right. Well, I drank Rhone. From the Rhone Valley.
You're a Rhone guy.
Yeah. But if I drink Pinot, I'd like it light, airy, and this is hitting the tasty notes that I do enjoy.
This is
TDM.
DeBordley Yarrow Valley, estate grown, Dave. It's a Pinot Noir 2014.
Cranberry notes here.
Beautiful. Cherry. It could take you through an incredible meal. And it's beautifully done. You can find it here. And I wish I could tell you the price. I can't tell you the price.
That's important.
Yeah,
Tony Gallagher has always taught me, first and foremost,
you start with the price and then you work out from there. And I'm going to be back next week, by the way. Unfortunately, you're not going to be here, with a couple of big heavyweights that I'm going to pour for the brother. Okay?
He gets two, I get one.
Well,
he gets a couple big heavyweights.
I could have stayed home and phoned it in.
Yeah, you could.
You know, I came to see him.
Yep.
So it's the first families of wine tomorrow, 10 a.m. TSM 1410.
Terry, thanks so much. Appreciate it, brother.
Well, thank you. We're going to leave you with a Beach Boys tune, of course, because why wouldn't we? Because at great expense. Yes, sir. Absolutely, Sat. Can you play it? I love this one. Here's another one. You want to turn it up? Watch that left hand turn. Have yourself a great, great weekend.
It's gonna